Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Christ as the saving aspect of truth, the Messiah, or the universal principle that makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. Listen as we explain why Paramahansa Yogananda referred to Christ consciousness in the teaching of Kriya Yoga, and why without it, there are no fruits in meditation. In Christ consciousness, the whole world, everyone and everything in it, is your own. The whole of space and everything in it belongs to you. When you cultivate this consciousness and therein understand that everything is yours, you will have no prejudices about race or color. From Yogananda, turning in with Christ consciousness. In this show, we will discuss the divine law and why the small and simple explains the large and complex. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and demonstrate divine truth. Swami, I see the title of today's show is The Function of Christ in Kriya Yoga. Why is this important for us to know?
Well, because yoga means union, union with the divine. And so it stands to reason one must know the divine in order to join with it. Especially when one understands the physics of spirituality, like attracts like. Christ is the Messiah, which, as we said, is the saving aspect of truth. It is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. So without it, how do we know what to join with?
What do we mean by the phrase, the saving aspect? What does that look like?
Truth is just a word in a book. Unless we understand what is meant when it says, know the truth and it makes you free. The saving aspect of truth is when truth is realized, actualized, when we are demonstrating the presence of the divine creation. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It's not just something that we talk about, but it is how we want to live our lives out from the understanding that life is perfect and it can't be anything else. And with that realization, that's what was referred to as being saved, saved from the belief that you are a finite mortal being.
So my next question is, again, from the summary, we said the universal principle that makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. So what do we need to know about that? Can you explain that a little further for us?
Yeah, Christ oftentimes is misrepresented. People think Jesus equals Christ. But Jesus was the manifestation of the Christ. The Christ is the eternal principle. The Christ is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. Jesus was a representative of that. And so if you mistake it and you personalize it and think it's Jesus, what we'll start to see is why you're not actualizing the promises that are made in Scripture. Or as we said, if you're not reaping the fruits of your meditations.
So what do you mean by personalizing? Can you give us an example when we do that?
Anytime that we acknowledge anything using our five material senses, when we're using our rational mind, and we are perceiving persons, places, things, that becomes the error. We really have to develop what was called the mind of Christ. We have to develop our spiritual senses. When we are living out from our material senses, this is what was referred to as living in sin. In Kriya Yoga, we call that avidya, ignorance. We're missing the mark.
So when we're personalizing the Christ, so give me an example of what I would say or do that would be personalizing the Christ.
Using the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. So the idea that you are thinking about the Christ, you're working with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. This becomes the barrier. Now we stop thinking and we start knowing in silence and in stillness. The idea of the birth of the Christ, what would that look like? When all of a sudden, this spiritual truth begins to illuminate your thought, it fills your thought with the presence of the divine creation, which doesn't report in our material senses, but is everywhere and in everything. And so, as long as you are trying to do this as a mortal being, as long as you have a personal sense of self, you are not in spiritual identity. We must know ourselves in the way that we are created in order for us to be able to be receptive to the divine creation, the truth of being.
How do you recommend that we start to do that? How do we begin to know ourselves in the way that we are created?
Kriya Yoga breaks down into a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. Possibly wherever you begin doing this, you're going to have things that you must do. There are things that you must know, and you must approach this with absolute determination, dedication to your practice. And so wherever you begin, I personally like to begin with a path of knowledge. I really like to know what it is that I am about to undertake. So for me, I would say start with belief. You have to believe life is perfect. Now, without the Christ, we don't know divine truth. Divine truth is not comprehensive to human consciousness without the Christ, without this saving aspect of truth. So you start with belief. You believe there is a divine creation. You believe there is one perfect divine life, looking at itself, as itself, of itself, to itself. Now, once you have that belief, then you need to practice. And practicing what we've been saying, stop reacting to the testimony of our senses. The term that you could use is spiritualizing. Another way of saying it is going twain. You start to recognize there's only one life, and it's perfect. Everything that is appearing in your material senses is just your thought about what's really here. And in this practice, we stop thinking, and in silence and in stillness, by keeping our mind an avenue of awareness for this truth of being, we watch, we wait, we let, we trust until the birth of Christ, until this spiritual light dawns on you and then you let it guide you from within.
You mentioned the word trust. Why is that such an important part in spiritual development?
Well, again, because you're starting out with belief, and belief eventually must graduate into faith. And so you have this belief that life is perfect, and yet what is appearing in your material senses does not have these divine qualities. This is a common problem, I think. But you have to realize that divine science is an exact science. There is a way of doing this. And of course, it's like anything else. A miss sometimes is as good as a mile. If you don't have it right, then you don't get the result. And a big part of educating yourself, your path of knowledge, is learning how this works. And so in this practice, there's a certain degree of trust, because it's not just belief without proof. There's trust without reservation. And then as your experiences start to reveal the presence of this perfection of being, the fruits of the Spirit start to manifest themselves in your experience, now you have faith. And then eventually, as you begin to become more and more proficient in this new way of thinking, which is not thinking, but knowing, letting, then your faith will develop into what was called understanding.
Swami, I see we have a quote here from Herb Fitch that'd be very appropriate for you to recite for us at this time.
Yeah, this comes from Realization of Oneness, Class 4A. And I did a little video that I put on the website for those that are members and created a little exercise in just exactly what we're talking about, but I'll read it. You have to answer these questions to yourself, because we learn that there is only one power that can save an individual from self-destruction, and it is the Christ. There is no way to know God aright except through Christ. You cannot find Christ external to your being. Christ is the kingdom of God within you, and unless you are in that kingdom, how can the treasury of that kingdom flow as your experience? What's the point of seeking supply out there when the kingdom of God is within you? What's the point of seeking happiness out there, or even health out there, if the kingdom of God is within you? End of quote.
Some of those questions that Herb Fitch reiterated at the very end makes me think that, well, if the kingdom of God is within us, we don't want to seek anything outside of ourself, but we're not talking about our mortal selves here, right?
Right. This is what we're talking about. We have to come out of that personal sense of self, because it is within divine consciousness. It is within spiritual identity, in an understanding of the one perfect divine life. It's not within your brain. It's not within your personal sense of who you think you are. It's like we've been saying, you cannot put divine mind in a finite mortal body. And this is what we need the Christ for. Christ is the Son of God, the divine idea of the divine creative principle. The reflection as mind, considering its own content. There's only one mind, and it's absolute. It's not the mind we're using to get us through this lifetime.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Like, you know, Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'd like to talk more about Christ being the saving aspect of truth. Can we dig down a little deeper with that?
When you're out of the five material senses, you are unconscious. But when you are conscious of divine truth, you are out of the five material senses, but you are not unconscious. You are Christ conscious, aware of the divine creation. Mary Baker Eddy refers to this as principle and idea, or God and man. In a paper she wrote, The Body, it says, and I'll read it, "The term mind and body I understand to mean God and man. Man, the manifestation and embodiment of mind, is the body of mind, is the infinite aggregation of spiritual ideas forever held, controlled, and governed by the law of life, harmony, and completeness. So man was never born, never had a claim, never sinned, never left heaven, but is spiritual, perfect, harmonious, and eternal. This understanding is the savior to our belief of body, the law of recovery of every and any claim of error. There is just one God and one body. I am the image and likeness of God. No mortal mind can confine this image in a mortal body, harm or touch it in any way. Mind has set me free from every error. Divine love fills every avenue, flows through every channel, and removes every obstruction. Man has no material body through which to express anything. His body is the body of God." End of quote.
I see in that work, The Body by Mary Baker Eddy, the part when you quoted, "Mind has set me free from every error." Mind is with a capital M. And we know now that when she capitalizes mind, she's talking about divine mind. And this kind of reminds me of what you said in the beginning of the program.
Yeah, we make a very clear distinction between mortal mind and divine mind. And one of the biggest things about this distinction is the mortal mind works on duality. It is a divided consciousness, and divine mind works in the absolute. One is rational and the other is spiritual.
So may I see, we do have a soundbite here from Herb Fitch that we could play for our listeners now.
Yeah, this comes from the La Jolla series, Class 9B. And for anybody who's interested in getting the full audio file, You can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
Cover it and make it part of your inventory of truth and consciousness. I assure you, like a tree, your new consciousness will pour abundant fruit into your garden. Just a word of caution, there are many students who are still failing to recognize the full illusion. They catch part of it, and they're able to escape part of it, but another part of the illusion catches them off guard. You should realize that there is only one illusion. This world. If you think part of this world is real and part is unreal, then you know more than God. My kingdom is not of this world. That's God's statement. And so that's the truth you must plant in your consciousness, and you must obey it. Divine truth you obey, because it only comes from the seventh heaven, the finished kingdom of God. And if you take that truth lightly, the Father has just told us we will die in our sins. The full illusion is this world. You cannot ignore divine truth, disobey divine truth, or even obey only a fraction of divine truth without losing your way. There's no place in this work for placing your opinions or your hopes above the divine truth spoken by God. If the world is not God's kingdom, how can it contain the qualities of God? Therefore, to experience divine qualities, you must live outside this world in the divine kingdom. You must live outside humanhood. You must live in your divine body. You must live outside your human mind in your divine mind. The purpose of all divine truth is to lift you above finite human reason, which thinks it knows what truth ought to be and ends up by burying the human body. Now let's illustrate this to see how easily our senses are trapped into the illusion. Let's just consider a normal human being. He seeks to improve himself. He wants to protect himself. He wants to make himself secure. Very normal. Why? Because he lives in the universe that God did not create. Appearances in this world stimulate him to action. So if he sees people in danger, he wants to help them. If he sees greed and corruption in high places, he wants to correct it. And if he sees evil anywhere, he wants to crusade against it. And all this is reasonable to him. He feels right about attacking and defending against everything that is wrong in the world. He's called a good human being. But what is he actually doing? He's actually letting the world mind use his human mind to declare that God is absent, that God is permitting evil, and that the same God who permitted the evils to happen expects him to clean them up. He's been fooled into living outside God's universe. And in spite of all his good intentions, he's a victim of the world mind, that cosmic atheist, and unless he awakens from the sleep, his entire life will be committed to chasing shadows in order to improve the shadows. You see, living as a human being, he sees a human universe. And he sees it full of human errors that somehow filtered through God's attention without being noticed. And the poor victim of these illusions actually thinks that he's doing God's work when he attacks these shadows. That's how complete the cosmic illusion is. Now, this cosmic malpractice ends when you are faithful to pure divine truth. And that is, God created a perfect universe. Who can change it? Stop your crusading. Stop malpracticing God. Stop malpracticing the world. Just pause and stop falling into the mental trap that has buried mankind in a tomb since the world began. Ask yourself, is God sitting around idly, waiting for you and me to improve his universe? Do we really believe that God created something imperfect and then gave us the power to make it perfect?
Now this is the Christ speaking, the Christ of Herb speaking to the Christ of you and I. There's only one life. And we have a little bit more. We have the other part to this that I thought I would maybe play if you have any questions.
I think it'd be a good time to play that next part.
Let us face this truth. Only an imperfect God could create imperfection. Is our God perfect or imperfect? If our God is perfect, our perfect God could only create perfection, and therefore, all imperfection must be an illusion of the human mind, and it exists only within that human mind. For God, the perfect creator, created nothing which is or could ever become imperfect. One of the mighty truths you learn to face in your daily inner work is that every danger, every evil, every pain in your human mind is keeping you in the mental universe that God did not create. The cosmic hypnotist has fooled you into believing that millions of mirages need improvement. This false picture will continue to enslave you until you remove the one mirage that makes all the other mirages possible. There is no mortal you. That mortal you, trying to improve the other illusions, is as much an illusion as they are. You are living in the wrong self. You are letting yourself be flesh and blood that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You've been caught asleep in a physical form, absent from the Lord. There are many situations in this world where all the physical help you want to give to someone will actually not help them in the slightest. Can you physically give eyes to a blind man? Can you physically raise Lazarus from the tomb? Can you physically tame the flood and restore movement to a paralyzed limb? You see, if we are satisfied to do the lesser work physically, then we will never develop the spiritual capacity to do the greater work. We will forever be limited to a patched-up universe. You may have noticed that Jesus was not running around patching up God's universe. As a matter of fact, never once did he speak out against the entire Roman Empire, which was committing every possible human evil. He never attacked it. He never tried to remove the evil. He didn't teach us to fight injustice or to rise up and battle evil powers or to go to war against enemies. He didn't even teach us to defend ourselves or our neighbors. He did teach us to put up our sword, to stop improving this world, to stop defending ourselves against danger, to stop struggling to keep the wolf from the door and pain from our suffering body. Was he mad? Or did we miss his great point that he was exposing us to the material illusion and saying, stop, there's a better way. There's a divine way, a perfect way. God is not letting any of this happen. You're looking through material senses. You're looking at images within your own mind. You're trapped in the sense world. Your entire battle is imaginary. Your frustration is imaginary. Even your fear is imaginary. The world mind is playing the entire scene with images. It is not God's work. You are not seeing God's universe. And by doing so, you are rejecting God. You are worshiping the world mind. Atoms have fooled you. Time images have fooled you. The belief in a power other than God has fooled you. The belief in mortal life has fooled you. You've got to pause, step out of reason, out of logic, step into your ascended self. Be what you are, divine self, immortal life, one complete self without finite human division. Take a long drink of silence. Rest in your finished kingdom. Accept the nowness of God.
Jesus would say, I and the Father are one. Spirit is one. One perfect divine eternal life, which is changeless and functioning right here and now. How do we find the Christ within? Key is that it must be found within. Whether you get it from Paramahansa Yogananda, Herb Fitch, these radio shows, we begin with belief in the presence of divine truth, the divine idea.
Well, we're going to have to start breaking down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Click it, directs you to its catalog page. Click the Products tab, Online Classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts today, Swami?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and demonstrate divine truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.